Well, I've been skiing for a long time. Since I was 2 years old, I could ski before I could walk, which I think a lot of lifetime skiers would say the same. I went to skied all through high school and went to college to ski, moved to Jackson Hole when I graduated and lived there for about 5 years, skiing and working at the Jackson Hole News, kind of learning the journalism business. And then after that, in 99, I was lucky enough to get hired by Powder Magazine, and they sent me all over the world to report on snow and skiing and mountain culture, which was pretty fun.
Not a bad gig.
A great gig. It was really, really exciting, and especially at a young age, to go to Istanbul or Lima, Peru, or even Japan with a pair of skis. It was sort of somewhere between bizarre and a real true adventure. So I was very lucky to get to do that.
And at some point you began to notice the snow is disappearing.
You know, I didn't notice it on my own as much as I read about it when two skiers from Jackson Hole called up in 2012 and said, hey, I think, you know, we want you to do a book on climate change and snow. And I was sort of taken, I wasn't really sure what to think about that at first. I looked into it, and that's when I was really floored by not only how much snow is predicted to disappear from the planet in the next 75 years, but how much has already disappeared.
And you write in your recent editorial for the New York Times about a researcher who has been looking into all of this. And, of course, it is now the Winter Olympics, and we're all focused on that. But you point out that, quote, of the 19 cities that have hosted the Winter Olympics, as few as 10 might be cold enough by mid-century to host them again. And by 2100, that number shrinks to 6.
It was pretty shocking to read that as well. Daniel Scott works at the University of Waterloo in Ontario, and that facility has been studying the direct effect of climate change, specifically on the ski area business, since the early 1980s. They're one of the oldest research facilities focusing on that. And he authored another study that was pretty shocking, that half of the ski resorts in the U.S. Northeast will likely have to close in the next 30 years due to warmer temperatures and less snow. So, you know, it all sounds kind of shocking. And then when you think about it, it's been proven beyond reasonable doubt that, A, the Earth is warming, and on a warming planet, it just takes 1 degree to turn a snowflake into rain. And as the Earth warms, there will very clearly be a lot less snow on it.
And you mentioned the statistic about the Pacific Northwest resorts, and also the studies also show that the Pacific Northwest could receive 40 to 70% less snow by 2050. And in your editorial, you say, if greenhouse gas emissions continue to rise, then snowfall, winter, and skiing will no longer exist as we know them by the end of the century. Quite a radical prediction.
I wouldn't say radical. I'm just a reporter and a skier, and I looked at all sides of these predictions. There are alarmists out there that predict far worse warming and consequences. There's a lot of conservative folks that predict less. We kind of went right down the middle of the road, and those numbers are standard. Those numbers you can find in any number of resources, places like NASA, NOAA, the National Snow and Ice Data Center in Boulder, their equivalents in Europe, and those sponsored by the UN. Those numbers are really 40 to 70% less snow in the Pacific Northwest. The same goes for the Sierras. You can look at the Sierras right now. In even early February before this last storm, they were at about 12% of their average snowpack. And while you can't attribute one storm or one year or even a single decade to global warming, those types of conditions are what will become more normal as each decade progresses.
And you go on to point out what the economic hit would be, and it's in the billions, and of course thousands of jobs would be lost from this industry.
Absolutely. There's a lot of jobs at stake in California alone. 15,000 jobs are at stake in the winter tourism business that could be lost if we lose our snow there. It's a real problem. There's the winter sports industry makes up a surprisingly large sector of the U.S. economy, almost a million jobs. It's pretty surprising for everybody to realize that this thing, the skiing that people think is sort of the leisure sport for the upper class, actually has a very significant impact on the economy. And as we point out in the book several times, this isn't just about skiing. This is about snow as a natural water storage system for water. And what it means in the off season, in the spring and the summer, is less snow in the spring and less water coming out of the mountains and causing drought conditions, wildfires, mountain pine beetle infestation, lack of hydroelectric power, especially in the Pacific Northwest. These are real issues that affect everybody, not just skiers.
You quote President Obama, who said, quote, "Mountain communities worry about what smaller snowpacks will mean for tourism, and then families at the bottom of the mountains wonder what it will mean for their drinking water." And that's the point, isn't it?
That's exactly what the point is. And that, his announcement, his climate action plan, just a few weeks before 108 ski resorts got together with several Forbes 500 companies and a big chunk of the business community and sent a climate declaration to the White House and said, we need to do something now. Our bottom lines are at stake. Our economies are at stake. And when Obama made that speech, he directly mentioned melting snow in the mountains and less water coming out of them for all the communities that live downstream. A billion people depend on snowmelt for their fresh water supply. So that's what us and our partners Protect Our Winters, the advocacy group that Jeremy Jones started in 2007. They're the leading voice on saving snow in our mountains. And that's what they specifically are focusing on. A, the economic impact. B, the larger impacts of what happens when that snowpack is not there on April 1st.
But you do chastise the winter sports community for not being more outspoken about this. You'd like to see more activism and more education about it.
I do, and I think, to be honest, they, in a lot of ways, were doing the best that they could in the circumstances. It's very difficult to run a company, and much less an entire industry, that depends so much on the weather. Skier numbers have been relatively flat since the late 1970s. A lot of ski resort CEOs are trying to, make ends meet, and many more have transitioned into more of a real estate company than a business selling tickets to put skiers up the hill. So when you're looking at it, from that perspective, to tell your investors and home buyers and whatnot that you're not going to have snow in 50 years. Might not be the most prudent thing for your business. And their awareness campaigns are commendable, the recycling, the carpooling, absolutely. But what we need right now is national policy shift in how we create and conserve energy. And that is something that they're starting to get on board with. It would have been great to have them on board 20 years ago, but better late than never in this scenario.
It's interesting that as we speak here in Montana, it's snowing in the mountains, but we're about to get rain in the valleys because it's a little bit warmer than it should be for this time of year in February.
Absolutely, and that's what you're seeing. People kind of expect for the switch to be thrown and there won't be any more snow. That's not how climate change works. These are step changes over many decades. So you could be looking at a very snowy winter in the future. Mean that climate change isn't happening. It means that you're having a snowy winter. The planet is constantly warming because of how we've altered the chemistry of it. And those insulating gases are warming the planet, year by year, decade by decade. That is no longer a scientific debate. That is a scientific fact. What they're trying to figure out now is how it affects the planet regionally. What happens in southwestern Montana? What happens in Northern California? That is a much more difficult thing to figure out. But what's not difficult are these historical observations. We spoke with Doug Chabot at Bozeman, Bridger Teton National Forest Avalanche Forecasting Center, and you know he's seeing rain events up to 9,000 feet in the middle of winter, and that's bizarre for that part of the world. For the number that he has witnessed, and a lot of other folks, ski patrollers at Big Sky, at Bridger Bowl. We spoke with a rancher in Paradise Valley outside of Livingston. Everybody is seeing a smaller snowpack, and they're seeing less water come out of that snowpack every year.
Well, I have been speaking with Porter Fox. He's a features editor at Powder Magazine, and he has a new book out called Deep, The Story of Skiing and the Future of Snow. And that future is what we've been discussing. Porter, thank you so much for your time and for the information. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sally.